Known for his unique ability to simplify profound truth so that it can be applied to everyday life, Adrian Rogers was one of the most effective preachers, respected Bible teachers, and Christian leaders of our time. Thanks for joining us for this message. Here's Adrian Rogers.
We are beginning a series of Bible messages on the family. You know that there is an all-out war on the family, and Satan is bombarding and attacking the family like never before. But it is a winnable war. And we have decided that we're going to do something about this attack. We're going to counterattack with the Word of God. We're going to be putting an emphasis upon the family. We have been told that it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. Well, I want to say in all due respect, that is not true. That is not true. It takes a family to raise a child. And it takes families to make up that village. And if you don't start with families, you're not going to have much of a village to raise anybody's child with to begin with. It takes a family to raise a child. The Bible says God hath set the solitary in families. And the devil knows that the family is the basic unit of society. And so if he wants society to come apart, where would he start? Obviously, he would start with the family to destroy the family. And he does that by deception so that he might dominate the world. So we're talking about the family. It takes a family to raise a child, and it takes faith to make a family. Now, that's the reason we're starting where we are. Now, with that in mind, I want us to read a story that you know from childhood. It's the story of Moses in the bulrushes. And it's found here in Hebrews chapter 11, and let's look at it as we read the Word of God. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he, that is Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, Moses endured, as seeing him who is invisible, that is, Almighty God. Now, God being my helper, I want to write 4 things upon your heart that will help you to be a mother of faith, a father of faith, a husband, a wife, a grandparent of faith, to bring up children, to bring a family up that will have children that will glorify and honor God. Are you ready for these? All right, now I want you to listen to these 4 principles. And by the way, we're going to be introduced, before I get into those principles, to 2 wonderful people. They are perhaps forgotten heroes in the Bible. One's name is Amram, and the other is Jochebed. Now, they're not famous names, but they are very, very important names because they are the mother and the father of Moses, the great Moses that led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. Amram, Jochebed, don't forget them. You'll meet them in heaven. And they are found here in Hebrews chapter 11 in God's hall of fame, which is really a hall of faith. And it tells what they did. Now, here are 4 principles we're going to learn from Amram and Jochebed. Here are 4 things that we're going to learn about how to bring children up by faith that is absolutely indispensable if you would have the kind of a family in these days that God wants you to have. Are you ready for them? Now, first of all, principle number 1, I want you to see this. Faith sees every child as special. Faith sees every child as special. Notice verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. Some translate this, they saw he was a special child. Others, that he was a beautiful child. Others translate that he was a fitting child. They all mean basically the same thing, that they looked at little baby Moses and they saw that he was extraordinary. Now, I want to say this. There's not a parent on earth who hadn't done exactly the same thing. They said, that baby is a special baby. Every child is a special child. Every child is the handiwork of Almighty God, and it's not just some children. It is all children that are special to God. And you have to see this by faith. Ethel Waters, that great gospel singer and a person with such a wonderful, warm spirit, talked about herself as she was born in dire circumstances and out of wedlock and some other things. But some said, how does that make you feel? She said, I'm special. God don't make no junk. Amen. God don't make no junk. God sees every child as special, and therefore every parent should see every child as special. I can remember when our first son, Steve, was born. Joyce and I were in college. We planned to have children while we were in college, and God allowed us to do so. And I can remember that night. I don't know why so often they come in the middle of the night, but she gave me the elbow, and she said, Adrian, I believe it is time. My heart just jumped out of my throat, and you know, it's an awful painful thing for a man to go through all this childbirth. And we were supposed to call the doctor. Dr. Valentine was his name. And she said, Adrian, call the doctor and tell him we're coming to the hospital in the middle of the night. Well, we were living in a little house trailer. We didn't have a telephone in there. To be very honest with you, we didn't even have a bathroom in there. We had a community place where we went over to shower and shave. And there was a little community center with a telephone in it. And I went over to get in. It was the middle of the night. It was locked. Oh, I thought maybe she's had the baby. By the time I get back to the trailer, I went and opened my car trunk and got a tire tool out and jimmied a window. It's the middle of the night. So here I am going in a window at night, and I thought I'm going to get arrested. So I went in the window, and I banged my shins going in, fell on the floor, ran over to the phone. It was a payphone. I had no money. I'm back out over to the house, searching through everything, trying to find just one dime. Back in through the window again to call the doctor and tell him what was happening. And said, doctor, it is important you get here immediately. And all of this. Got down to the hospital. Little Steve was born. I remember seeing him for the first time as he was there, Joyce holding him in her arms. He had a little fleck of blood right there on his cheek, and his hair was all mussed up. He was ugly. Oh. All scrunched up and wrinkled up, but to me, it was pretty. It was pretty. I kissed Joyce and kissed Steve. Went home, that little trailer, got on my knees, and I prayed. And I said, God, if I never do anything good, never have any kind of so-called success in this world, I want to be a godly dad. I want to raise that child for you because he is special. I knew just looking at him that he was special. Every child is special. They saw that he was a proper child, a beautiful child, a special child. Faith has to see this. And you have to see your child as a special child. And God made your child absolutely, totally, wonderfully unique. You know, one of my life verses is this. It's Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed, that literally means his children, shall be mighty upon the earth. I want to raise up mighty children. Now, one way to do that is just to get into the instruction book, which is the Word of God. And Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, you know that the word way is a special word here. It doesn't just simply mean in the direction that he should go, but it means to be the kind of a child that God wants him to be and God made him specially to be. The idea of way here is the idea of a bend in a bow, like an archer's bow. That is, every child has his own particular bent. Sometimes I thought mine were also warped, but they have a particular bent and they are different. And what you have to do is to look at your child by faith and say, this child is a special child. Now, Joyce and I have five children. We have a little boy in heaven, but we have four who are here on this earth, and four very wonderful children. But I want to tell you that the four who are here are so very different one from another. Our first son, Stephen, as I've already told you, has a bent for music. And we discovered this before he ever went to school. I taught him a little finger melody on the piano, and he's been at the piano ever since, and loving music, writing music, producing music, and he is an ordained minister of music. He just has that bent for music. And so we would be very foolish to try to derail him or move him in any other direction, because that's the way that he should go. Our second son, David, he has a bent for geography and the world. When he was a little boy, he was poring over maps and zip codes. And one time when he was just a little tyke, we were talking about taking a trip to the West Coast and talking about what route we should take. And David said, well, I'd go through Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, and he had the whole thing routed out. I didn't even know he knew those states existed, but he had memorized them in sequence, in order. And he's just been a man who's had the world on his heart. And David is a missionary. That's the way of his heart. He knows geography. He knows the world. He is a world citizen. And it's been our joy to pray for him and encourage him that way. And then along came Gail, born in a storm. We named her Gail because of that. And we named her rightly. Gail is the one who is fiercely competitive. She has a mind like a computer. Don't ever try to outsmart her. Don't ever try to get ahead of her. Gail is an entrepreneurial spirit. She's a leader. She's a counselor. She has incredible insight into the ways that things work, and it makes her a great encourager of people and a great leader of folks. That's the bent that God put in this girl. Sometimes I stand in awe as I watch her and listen to how her mind works. And then God gave us Janice. Janice is my romanticist. She's sweet and gentle. She loves music. She loves poetry. She loves mountains. She loves flowers. She loves children. She has a nurturing spirit and a very gentle spirit. Four children, but one thing about them, they all love Jesus and they all love mom and dad. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. You just have to find the way that they should go, and then you encourage them in that way. But now put it down, big, plain, and straight. Faith sees every child as a special child. They don't come in standard packages, and you better carefully read the label. Just look at them over and over and over again. That's the first thing I want you to understand. Look at your child and say, God, help me to understand the way that he should go, the way that she should go. Faith sees every child as a special child. Got that? Then let's move to second point. Faith sees every child as a special child, and faith sees every conflict as a spiritual conflict. Faith sees every conflict as spiritual. Now look in verse 23 again. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Well, why did they hide him? Well, it's very obvious. The king had commanded that the little boy babies be killed. Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river. Now, they worshiped the Nile River, so this was making the little boy babies a sacrifice to the Nile River. Take the little boy babies when they're born and cast him into the river. Well, was this a conflict between Israel and Egypt? No. Was this a conflict between the parents of Moses and Pharaoh? No. What this was a conflict between the gods of Egypt and Almighty God. What this literally was a conflict between light and dark. What this was a spiritual conflict. Now, you have to understand that in raising children. Folks, it takes more than wit and wisdom and nutrition and good intentions and your talents. You are in a spiritual battle when you're raising children. Did you know that? That's the reason that it takes faith. That's the reason it takes faith. For the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, the battle here was a battle against spiritual and demonic forces. And you're up against that as parents today. Now, if you don't see the battle as spiritual, what you're going to use is intelligence and good intentions rather than faith. But if you see the battle as spiritual, you're going to use faith as your major weapon. The Bible says it was by faith that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, without faith, they should have been afraid. I mean, they're disenfranchised, helpless slaves, little unknowns. Amram and Jochebed, they had every reason to be afraid if the battle was a physical, material battle. But faith sees every conflict as spiritual. Now, if you don't see that, folks, I'm going to tell you, you're going to strike out as parents. Those were treacherous days in which they lived, and these are treacherous days in which we live. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, and these are perilous times. Let me tell you what you're facing. If you're a parent, a grandparent, what you're facing. You're facing liberalism in religion. There's nothing more damning, debilitating, stultifying than liberalism in religion. Because we have today churches that use the same religious language that we use, but they don't mean what the Bible means. They use our words and their dictionary. And that is very, very dangerous. Now, I don't know of anything that would be more harmful or hurtful to your child than to have your child in a liberal, Bible-doubting church. You just need to get away from those churches. They're dangerous. They're empty. They are futile. Now, take those children and realize that liberalism in religion is a very dangerous thing. And then that is compounded by humanism in education. Now, what is humanism? Humanism is a system of thought that honors man rather than God. Man is the center and the circumference and the sum total of everything. And it sounds so good because humanism, who could be against humanism? It sounds so much like humanitarianism, but it is really atheism that is disguised. They call it humanism. And the chief building block of humanism is evolution. Our children have been taught that they are an accident, not an incident, that they just happened, that they came up out of some primordial ooze. And because of that, there is no fixed standard of right and wrong. You say, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor, aren't you an educated man? Are you telling me that you fly in the face of science and you don't believe in evolution? Friend, I reject evolution totally, 100%, period. I do not believe in that monkey mythology. It is not based on fact. Regardless of what they will tell you, it is a theory. It is the next best guess of a mind that will not accept the Word of God that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But now watch it. The chief building block in humanism is evolution. Built upon evolution is sex education. Sex education. What are children being taught, if you let all the air out of it, I'm going to cut through the rhetoric, they're being taught how to have sexual intercourse without catching a disease or getting pregnant. That's what it's about. Just let all the air out of it. That's blunt, but that's what it is. They are not taught that there is a fixed standard of right and wrong. They are not clearly taught abstinence according to the fixed standard of God that says flee fornication. And that speaks that of adultery as an incredible crime against themselves and against God. And it can do nothing but damage unless it comes with a fixed moral base. The kids are facing, friend, let me tell you, they're facing liberalism in religion, they're facing humanism in education, and then they're facing hedonism in society. We live in a sex-saturated, alcohol-soaked society. Your children are looked upon as fodder for the liquor dealers, the beer barons, and all of these. And it is an incredible thing, but I have to admit that they are winning the battle. Where are the best advertisements that your kids watch? The beer advertisements. I mean, give the devil his due. They're good, aren't they? And they're winning the battle. What do they support? Where are these commercials found? Well, they're found in sports events, the Super Bowl. They're found in college playoff games and all of this. And the kids are being told to drink it. Everybody drinks it. You say, but oh, we're going to teach them to drink in moderation. Come up close. I'm going to tell you something. That's the way every drinker begins. That's the way everybody begins. Nobody ever starts to drink to be a drunkard. They all begin that they're going to drink in moderation or whatever. They think it's a harmless thing. The Japanese have a proverb, first the man takes a drink, then the drink takes the drink, and then the drink takes the man. Amen. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And I tell you what you ought to do, parents, Get the alcohol out of your house, beverage alcohol, all of it, totally, period. Out. Amen. Out. Oh, my little alcohol? Yeah, out. Number two, you stay up when your kids go out and be awake when they come home. It's better for you to lose your sleep than to lose your child. When that big old boy comes in, get up real close and give him a hug so you can smell his breath. That's right. Number three, let him see that you have a home. We're going to talk about family fun, but you don't have to get drunk in order to have a good time. Let him see the joy of the Lord in your house, in your heart, in your home. So what I'm saying is they're facing this thing, this hedonism in society. It's the same thing, everything in the movies, in the films, in the situational comedies. They're all based primarily upon this, the breaking of God's commandments and laughing about it. That's the danger of a situational comedy that these kids watch. Well, you say, well, that's just our way we get entertained by that. Many of you are using the television as a babysitter. Now, if living next door to you, there happen to be a man and a woman who are not married, and they're in the house next door, and they are cohabitating and having an illicit affair, when you go off shopping, would you say, now, Johnny, I want you to get a soapbox, and I want you to stand on that soapbox and look in the window and watch those people and see what they're doing. I want you to be entertained. This is the way I'm going to babysit you. Well, you say, of course, I wouldn't do that. Well, you're letting them watch something like that right in the television, right in the living room. You see, these are what the kids are facing. They are facing liberalism in religion. They're facing humanism in education. They're facing hedonism in society. They're up against it. Now, if I did not know the Lord, I would be absolutely petrified to raise children in this world in which we live. But there is a way. There is a way. Notice the Bible says they were not afraid. Faith sees every conflict as spiritual. If you think that you're going to outwit this world, you're wrong. You're in a spiritual battle, and therefore you have to have faith. Number three. Let's go to number three. Faith sees every challenge as solvable. Faith doesn't throw in the towel. Faith is not intimidated by the sinister minister of fear. There is a king greater than the king of Egypt, and he is the King of Kings. When you see every conflict as spiritual, then you know you have the victory. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you don't have to give in to the spirit of fear. There are parents today who are petrified. They're throwing up their hands. They're saying, I don't know what to do, so they do nothing. You cannot afford to be lazy. You cannot afford to be selfish. And you certainly cannot afford to be cowardly. The Bible says that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The Apostle Paul said in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Pessimism is tragic. Be done with it. Faith sees every challenge as solvable. Now, what they did, therefore, was to put their faith into action. The Bible says in verse 23 that Moses was hidden. You remember the story? They made a little ark of bulrushes and put little Moses in that ark and put him down there in the river Nile. Now, what impelled them to do that, I believe, was God. God had spoken to them, and God said, do that. You say, how do you know God told them to do that? Because they did it by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I mean, they couldn't have done it by faith unless they'd been impelled by the Holy Spirit of God to do it. And they just simply obeyed what God had told them to do. And the Bible says it was by faith that he was hid. Now, listen to me very carefully, folks. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. They did something. Now, they had three options. One option could have been fatalism. They could have said, well, whatever will be, will be. We just won't do anything. Take your garden and do nothing with it and see what happens to it. Fatalism is horrible. They could have done fanaticism. They could have just chunked the little baby in the river and said, let's see how God will deliver him. That's the kind of fanaticism that some people have when they're sick, they won't go to a doctor. Or when they need food, they won't work. They just say, well, we're just trusting God. That's fanaticism. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. But faith works. Faith without works is dead. They did something. And when they did all they could do, all they knew to do, they did as much as they could do, then God moved in. Now, that's the reason faith sees every challenge as solvable. You remember what happened? The little baby there is floating in that little ark there in the bulrushes, and along comes the king of Egypt's daughter. She stops her royal entourage and goes down to the river to bathe in the Nile. Now, question, why would the princess of Egypt be bathing in the Nile? She has her lavish baths, marble baths, perfumed soap, soft towels. Why would she be bathing in the Nile? I don't know, except that God just told her to do it. Maybe she remembered the old swimming hole when she was a little girl. She went down there to the Nile, and then just at the right moment, the baby cried. Do you think that was a diaper pin, or do you think maybe an angel pinched that little child? The baby cried just at that moment, and her mother's instincts were raised, and she picked up the little baby and loved it. And there's Miriam, Moses' sister, standing off and says, pardon me, ma'am, but I know somebody who'd be happy to take care of that little baby for you if you want to keep that little baby. She said, you do. Go get her. And Miriam went and got her mother, Moses' mother also. And Moses' mother, Jochebed, said, yes, I'll be happy to raise and nurse that child for you. And the child is placed back now in his mother's arms with Pharaoh's protection. And Jochebed and Amram have that child to raise and to teach and to train. Oh, how wonderful it is that they put all of these things into little Moses' heart. Folks, pay attention to me now. Pay attention to me. Faith, mighty faith, sees every problem, every conflict as spiritual, and therefore it sees it as solvable. Because greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. You have to do it by faith. You see, faith sees every challenge, every challenge, every challenge as a solvable challenge. Don't ever give in to the spirit of pessimism with your children. You do all that you can do, and when you do all that you can do, God will move heaven and earth for your child. That's what God did for these parents, these seemingly helpless parents. And don't fail to do all that you can do. Now, let's go back for just a moment before we leave this point. Remember what the Bible says over there in Proverbs chapter 22? Train up a child in the way that he should go. And that doesn't just say teach. You can teach a child, and somebody else can teach them something else. But the word train means to discipline for a contest. Have you ever watched a man train a hunting dog? He had a little bird on a pole, and he would put that little bird there somewhere and just drop it down. This dog would point. It took the dog with him, training the dog. I thought, I wonder if he has a little boy. Nothing wrong with training a dog like that. But I wonder if he spent that much time teaching his little boy. Men spend all of that time training the dogs. Then they don't train the children. They tie the dog up at night and let the kids run wild. That doesn't make sense to me. Train that child. That's what Jochebed did. That's what Amram did. They trained that little child in the way that he should go. That's what the Bible says. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, here's the fourth and final thing. Are you ready for this? Faith sees every choice as significant. Faith sees every choice as significant. Now, notice what happened in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Three words I want you to look at. Verse 25, choosing. Verse 26, esteeming. Verse 27, forsaking. Now, folks, here's the value system. Here's the value system that was in little Moses. Faith sees every choice as significant. Moses had to make some choices. Your children are going to be faced today with some choices. Let me tell you something. Do you know two things that you're going to have to teach your children? Number one, you're going to have to teach them to discriminate. Oh, no, no, no. We're not supposed to teach discrimination. Yes, you are. And number two, you're going to have to teach them to be intolerant. Oh, Pastor, no, that's against everything I'm told. I am telling you, my friend, that you are going to have to teach your child to discriminate and not to tolerate some things. Now, we're told today, no discrimination about anything and tolerate everything. That is not biblical. That is dangerous. That is the death knell to your child. Moses realized that he had a choice to make, and it had to be a discriminating choice. So the Bible says there was a value established. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the riches of Egypt. He had at his fingertips pleasure, possessions, and popularity. And over here is the reproach of Christ. And Moses had to make a choice. Now, friend, we're free to choose. We're not free not to choose. And we're not free to choose the consequences of our choice, because after we make a choice, the choice chooses for us. And Moses made a choice because there was a value established. And the word esteemed speaks of evaluation. He was evaluating. He had learned something about Jesus Christ. Where did he learn it? He learned it from his mother. And so it's absolutely foolish to expect your children to make the right choices if they don't have the right value system. And you better teach them, folks, to tolerate that which is supposed to be tolerated, and to be intolerant about sin and about vice and about wickedness and about lewdness and about sex before marriage and about drunkenness and about drugs and about blasphemy. And you better teach them that those things are things that you don't tolerate. And you discriminate between the good and the evil, the right and the wrong. Don't discriminate against some individual. Don't discriminate against some person. Don't discriminate against somebody because of the color of their skin. But you'd better learn to discriminate about that which is right and that which is wrong. He esteemed. And then when he had his values, then he chose some virtues. Because then he said, all right, here are the riches of Egypt. And here's the reproach of Christ. And so he has a choice now that he's going to make. He looks over here and he sees pleasures, possession, power. Let's see. Oh, that looks so great. That looks so wonderful. The pleasures of sin. Let's see where it ends. Oh, no. Oh, no. Over here, here's the reproach of Christ. It looks hard. It looks difficult. Moses, look at it. Let's see where it ends. Oh, boy. I like that. You see, he saw the pleasures of the moment, that which is eternal and that which is real and that which counts forever and ever and ever. And he said, I'm going that way. I'm going that way. Where did he get that? I'll tell you where he got it. Jochebed, Amram put it in his heart. First of all, there were the values established. Then there was the virtue embraced. And then there was the vice rejected. He refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, no, no, I'll not go that way. Thank God. Thank God for children who are raised that way. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you now, there's a battle out there, and only faith will win the battle. It's by faith that they did this. I want you to pray that God will increase your faith. Don't pray that God will increase the faith of your children. You may pray that if you want, but that's not what I'm asking you to pray right now. Just pray that God will increase your faith, that God will help you to be a mother, a father of faith, that you, friend, will see every conflict as spiritual, every challenge as solvable, every choice as significant. Father God, teach me as a granddaddy and as a father to be a dad of faith like Amram was. Bless our mothers and grandmothers that they might be mothers and grandmothers of faith like Jochebed. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to learn more about how you can know Jesus or deepen your relationship with Him, simply click the Discover Jesus link on our website, lwf.org. For a copy of this message or additional resources, visit our online store at lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you.